Good morning.
It's good to be with you this morning. I love being in chapel. I love spending this time with you every day. I usually stand over by the exit over there because I often get phone calls in the middle of chapel and don't want to be disruptive. But to worship with you every day and to gather with you is a joy. And I hope that you take this time that you have for chapel and just don't take it for granted. One thing I hear from alumni all the time is, I miss chapel. Even the guys that would skip all the time. I miss chapel. This morning, there's several different places I like to go when I get the chance to speak in chapel, to share in chapel. And I picked one today that I really like to speak on. It's a passage. It comes from a passage in Luke chapter 19. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It's nearing the end of his journey here on earth. He's coming down with his disciples. He sends two of his disciples to go get a colt on which nobody had ridden yet. And they go and they find the colt, just as he said, and they bring it back. And the disciples in the crowds, they place their cloaks on the back of that colt, and they place Jesus on it. And as they're going down by the Mount of Olives, the crowds begin to shout and to sing and to praise. Glory to God in the highest. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I picture kind of a party atmosphere. You got Jesus and the disciples heading to Jerusalem. You got these crowds who believe that Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Savior come to deliver them from all the oppression. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, hallelujah. Our King is coming to save us. And that's why I had him lead that song. Shout hallelujah. I picture that song to have been very much in place there in that atmosphere. There was a group there that didn't believe Jesus to be the King, didn't believe that he was the Savior, the Pharisees. And they come to Jesus and they say, Teacher, they knew he was a teacher, they knew he had a following. He says, tell them to be quiet. Tell them to hush. All this nonsense. The next little phrase is what I want to spend a little bit of time with you on this morning. I think there's power in this little phrase if you look and you dig a little deeper. And he said, Jesus told them, and he replied, if they are quiet, if they stop, and I picture the stones around, he points to the stones and says, the stones will cry. On just a basic surface level, I think we can see that Jesus is, and the message there is, you cannot stop the praising of Jehovah, of Jesus. Nothing you can do will stop the fact that he is worthy and that he will be praised. If nothing else, these stones will cry out. I believe the scriptures to be true. And I believe that Jesus cannot lie. I also wonder about stones crying out. You ever heard a stone cry out? How many have ever heard a stone cry out? I've cried out from a stone smashing my foot, but I've never heard a stone cry out, right? I want to invite you to join me because we are an educational institution. We do experiments, we ask questions, we learn, we grow. We've got an experiment this morning, if you're willing to join me in it. This was why it was noisy down here. I brought a stone. Here's a very simple experiment, okay? I won't have you stand up, because I want you all to be able to see and listen close when it's time. I'll start the shout hallelujah, okay? Picture yourselves on the side of that mountain, going to Jerusalem with these people. And then we're going to change the story a little bit here to see if it works. I'm going to say, be quiet. And I want you to listen to the stone. Okay? Good deal? Can you do that? Okay. I'm not as good a song leader, but I'll get us going. But then I'm going to say, be quiet. And then really quick, be quiet and listen as close as you can. Okay? You've never met this stone before. He's a little shy. This stone came from my growing up. I can't say all the stories. I don't have time. This from our rock garden in front. It was one of my mom's rocks. And so I brought him. Because I'm so creative, let's call him Rocky. Okay. So this is Rocky. He's going to shout out when we be quiet. I'll go ahead and mic him so that you can hear. Okay. Ready? Shout hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout
quiet! It's working. Did you hear it? How many heard it? Okay. Eric, you're being a little ridiculous, right? I am being a little ridiculous. Stones don't have a voice, right? How many would agree with me? Stones don't have a voice. A lot of you, the smart ones. Or do they? From Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, which we just agreed upon. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. From Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the earth, the great creatures in all ocean depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and all the cedars, wild animals and all the cattle, creatures that crawl and flying birds. From Isaiah 55. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And then from Psalm 96, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea and everything in it roar. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Remember when I started, I said I believe that the scriptures are true. It is not possible for God to lie. What can you make of it? How is it that God can proclaim that the heavens declare his glory? That the trees clap their hands or sing out in a glorious song? I have a thought on that. You may have some since we're experimenting together. Could it be that nature praises God by being and doing what God created it to be and to do? To me, that's how I make sense of this passage. This stone right here can cry out a praise to the Father by being and doing what it was created to be and to do. Right now, it's a stone that adorns the front of our house. No flower bed. There are stones that compose walls. In Scripture, they use stones to build an altar. Build a house out of stones. You can walk outside. One thing I love about where we live here, and I've seen pictures from some of you that have done presentations, and you see the sunsets in the evening. And how the laws that God has put into place and the clouds and the light and all the things work together to paint something that no artist could conceive or paint. And it proclaims and declares the glory of God by being and doing what God created it to be and to do. That make sense to you? What does that mean to me, though? I want to walk back a little bit, just for a couple minutes, to Genesis, the creation of the world. I'm amazed every time I read Genesis 1 and 2. It's thinking about what God did in the beginning. There was a phrase that he uses, and God said, let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and you see on display the full power of the Word of God in the creating of the world. And later on, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every creature that moves along the ground. I want to propose an idea this morning to you to think about it, to contemplate as you go throughout this week and throughout this day. Of all creation, the creation of man is significantly different. God said, and things came into being. And they were having this conversation here, and God said, let us make man in our own image. If you look a little further in the early parts of chapter 2 of Genesis, it really paints a clearer picture of what that looked like and why you are so special. And God took some of the dust that he had created, and he took it, and he formed into a man. You hear the intimacy there? You hear the personal touch there of the creator of the world making man? He could have just easily said, let there be man, and poof, there we are. But he took the dust and he formed it into a man. And then he did something. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Not just life. The animals he made had life. But man is different. Man is a spiritual being. And often in Scripture, the breath of God is connected with the spirit. So everyone in there, look around, look at your neighbors. Look at your neighbors. They were created in the image of God. No other part of creation was such created. As you go through this week and you wake up and you look in the mirror, I want you to say, wow. Not because we're all that great attractive, right? But I was made in the image of God. And think about what that means. And how special that is. But just as we talked about creation, all creation praising God, by being and doing what they were created to be, my challenge for you this morning is, are you trying to be and do what you were created to be and to do? And it's true, God created us all differently. We all look different. He gave us each different gifts and different abilities. Our common strand is we all were created in the image of God. As you live, as you go through your daily walk, is what you do and who you are reflect the image of God? If it does, I think that is your hallelujah. I entitled this lesson, What's Your Hallelujah? Are you reflecting the image of the one you were created in? By what you do and who you are and what he made you to be. That's your hallelujah. And the only way we're able to do that, to live such a way that our life can be a hallelujah, is to meet Jesus at the cross, let him wash us clean, and walk in the power of the Spirit. And at that time, God takes you and makes you and forms you anew. And breathes into you the Spirit of life, the Spirit of eternal life. And when you live your life having been to the cross, then we are empowered and we are able to live a life worthy of the calling of being made in the image of God. That's my challenge to you this week. Get up in the morning, get yourself dressed, look in the mirror, remind yourself that you are made in the image of the God who made you, and consider that day what your hallelujah is going to look like. Let me just sing just a little bit of it. Then I'll tell you to be quiet. Would that work? That'll be a fitting end. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Thank you for being here this morning.